Welcome to Wondering Wednesday.
Wondering on Wednesday.
That's right. It is your favorite hosts, Mary Ellen and Joe, and we are so excited to answer questions for you on Wednesdays.
You can send us all of your burning points and miles questions, whether it's 101, 201, questions about a specific trip itinerary. We're going to pick one each week and feature it on the show in a little tiny bite-sized episode.
You can send your questions to Mary Ellen and Joe at wonderlandonpoints.com. You can DM us. You can send them to us through the Facebook group. We want to hear from you.
So let's dive in.
Let's go. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is time to dig into another question in the points and miles world. Our question today is, why would you ever book in the portal? When is the right time to book in a travel portal? All the banks have these portals. When are we actually going to use them, Joe?
That's a fantastic question. And I think it's important to start with why we don't always recommend the portal. So for our newbies here, a lot of people only know of points and miles in terms of using a portal. Because when you get a card, like a Chase card or a Capital One card or an Amex card, they tell you the value that your points are worth. And that value is based on using them in their portal, not in transferring out to partners, where we all know is where you get the most value. So we don't often recommend booking in the portal for a number of reasons. The first one being value. The second one being that you are using a third party. So sometimes if things go wrong, it can be a little harder to resolve when you've booked through a third party. And the third reason is that if you are booking, you know, a Hyatt, but you're booking through the Chase portal, you are not getting your Hyatt benefits the same way as if you booked directly through. So you might not be getting your qualifying nights. You might not be getting credit for your stays. Those are really important benefits. If you're going to be staying a lot, they add up over time. So those are the reasons people typically say to avoid the portal. But we also do want to mention that there are reasons to use the portal, and we want to tell you what those are.
Yes, a lot of cards come with a credit that can only be used in the portal. So The Chase Sapphire Preferred has a yearly $50 credit where you get $50 off the price of a hotel. Well, at some point in the year, you may want to consider using that. When it comes to Capital One, there was recently a sign-up bonus that offered $250 to use in the portal. Or if you have the Venture X, you have $300, but it has to be travel booked in the portal. So that's a very obvious reason that at least at some point throughout the year, you may want to make sure that you're redeeming your credits and offsetting your annual fee with whatever credits are offered to you. Now, I will say, double check that you're not just wasting the $50, because before I have looked up a hotel, because I'm like, oh, we need to use our credit. You know, we want that $50. But the price in the travel portal is so different than the price that I can book directly with the hotel that it doesn't make sense. So it can be a little tricky to use those credits, but there are times that it works out and it works out really beautifully. So definitely try to get the value from your credits.
Absolutely. And another great time to use the portal is if you have to pay cash for something. And the reason for that is because you often get a multiplier from booking through the portal. When I recently bought Universal Studios tickets for our trip in the summer to Universal Studios, I was using cash to buy those tickets. But if I had just used the Chase Sapphire Preferred on the Universal Studios website, I would not have gotten the 5x points I got for buying the ticket. This was for Juliet's friend. Obviously, I did actually use points for my own in the portal also. But you guys know that if you listened to that episode. If you didn't, go back and listen to it. But because I booked through the portal with the cash for her friend's ticket, I got 5x the points on that. And then, of course, you can sometimes find points redemptions for things that you normally wouldn't be able to use points for in the portal, such as my own Universal Studios tickets. And if you are traveling to places that are more remote, great example of this is that my parents recently went to Olympic National Park. There were not hotels nearby at all. There were not a lot of options. And they booked a cabin on points through the Chase portal for that. So there are moments where the portal is a good opportunity and should not be overlooked or dismissed just because the general wisdom is don't use the portal.
Yeah, I love it for non-chain options. We used our credit in the Capital One portal when we went to Switzerland, and we were staying in a town where there were some hotels, but they were not affiliated with any of the major hotel chains that I could, you know, use points for or that I wanted to get my status with that hotel. So they were just random independent hotels. So we booked those through a portal and used our yearly credit.
Absolutely. And the last thing I would say, and we got this wisdom from Katie's Travel Tricks, is that sometimes when the taxes and fees are so high on a points redemption, you might look in the portal at a cash ticket that you can use your points for and find that you might actually get a lower points redemption in the travel portal just based on a sale that's going on. There might be a great sale on a cash ticket, and you can actually use your points through the portal to book that, and it might actually be cheaper than a transfer. Now, do I think that happens super often? No. But do we see it sometimes? Yes, we do. So it's just a reminder to you to check your options. Price out the different options. Make sure you're comparing the taxes and fees to the cost of a plain cash ticket through the portal. There are times to use it. There are times not to use it.
Yeah, I think the portal gets a bad rap for the whole, what we mentioned at the beginning about it being kind of a third party when you're booking. I think in reality, most of the time, it's fine. People don't have any trouble with their, whether it be a hotel or a flight, most of the time, it works seamlessly. But it is those outlier times that it, you know, it's kind of like booking through booking.com or Expedia, that kind of third party between you and the hotel when something goes wrong. But I do think that those situations are a lot more rare than you would think when you look online and you, of course, only hear horror stories.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've been wondering about this today. We hope you are no longer wondering about this. Maybe this has cleared up some things for you. Don't forget to send us your questions so we can answer them on a future episode. And we will see you next time.
See ya.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.